We are in studio now with Brendan Devenny. We're looking forward to this week, tonight's DL debate. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you on board. How are you keeping?
Thank you. Yeah, keeping the best, sir.
Right. Narasa, controversy. Yeah. I didn't see it or haven't read anything out of it, but a few texts. People want to know what your views are. What happened?
Yeah, listen, it all come down to officiating. You know, the man in the middle, Richie Donoghue. Just a malaise of red cards, black cards, yellow cards. I mean, it was just chaos what was happening there. You know, Narasa got into a fantastic lead, had two goals in a minute and were well in control of the game. But then black cards, sendings off, you know. Obviously, they weren't all players, you know. Some of the manager himself and the physio got red cards. And so it was a real heated game. Mm-hmm. It didn't sound like it should have been like that. But, you know, Declan's interview's up online there and he says in all his time in football, he never seen anything like it.
And he has seen a lot.
Yeah, 2-5-1-9 and you'd think after 15 minutes, you know, they had that 2-1-2-2 on the board. So, I mean, it just shows you the effect that had in the rest of the game for them, being able to get the ball into scoring positions and that, and it became a bit of an entrenched game, which they didn't come out on the right side and they'd late
these
chance
guys
to equalise.
They've had a really, really long season, you know, and probably even... you know, all the prep then has to go in to continue the campaign in Ulster. For that all to be undone, seemingly what it must feel like outside of their control and for the fans, like, this is going to sit poorly for quite some time.
Yeah, of course, they had a challenge after they won it. Of course, by Mayville, you know, there was a technicality there, yeah. But, you know, they went into Ulster and, like, a massive time. I mean, the club was on the brink of going under. Just a few years ago, numbers, and as we know, Greg, we were all clubs and that, so they pulled it together and they got the club back on track. And of course, Declan, you know, everything he's done playing in the game, managing and playing has been phenomenal. Of course, he takes the reins. As soon as he took it, he thought, right, there's a championship tilt on here. Mm-hmm. They got across the line, and of course, we've seen some fantastic runs over the years from teams in Ulster, right across the board now from Donegal teams, which wasn't always the case.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they thought, you know, you dare to dream, you get into Ulster playing the Fermanagh Champions List in a ski, and after a phenomenal start, I mean, when you think about it then, I mean, 7 yellow cards, 4 black cards, you know, and all the reds, you know, 3 to Narasa players, it just sounds like something.
Chaos.
Like, why did that happen? Yeah. And you look at any game, right, there's no reason for a game, unless there's some season animosity between two teams, and this is two teams who never play each other, You can't have that amount of things happening. So Brendan O'Connor, who's doing co-com for us at the weekend, is going to be up, so it'll be interesting to get his views.
On the plus side, I saw the Dunlow Ladies live this year. Brilliant team and seemed to have huge depth. They looked like they could field two good teams. That's paying dividends for them in Ulster.
Yeah, interestingly, Declan Bunner's man inside him for a famous 92 one, Tony Boyle, of course, he's the manager of that team. So the two guys doing great work out there. Of course, his daughters are playing and to the fore in them teams as well, and just about got across the line against T. Holland. And listen, Monaghan ladies football is always strong as well. So Dunlow edging them out 3-10 to 2-12. Good high scoring game, very entertaining game, and they march on to the final now, Greg, where they're playing the champions of Cavan, Lavey. So again, Greg, that thing about going into Ulster, it's, and for people, you know, you play your championship here, and again, you know so many teams and clubs and grounds. Next thing, you're out of that comfort zone, you're playing teams you don't know, you're in the dark nights and that, and you're representing Donegal. So fair play to Dunlow, and magic for them. They're on the up and up, and I'll be chatting to John McNulty later in the show, the new ladies manager. Mm-hmm. And you're looking for a spread of teams across the board, you know, no matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's men's football. You need a spread of teams pulling into the county.
Yeah,
Dunlow
sure.
On the up. That's only going to help Donegal ladies football and as well with the hurling teams.
Well, everyone has stopped the game, don't they?
That's
I mean, you know, they or any team drag them up. Is hurling still on the up and up? On the face of it, it seems.
Yeah,
Donegal hurling.
Two huge ones at the weekend. I mean, you'd have to say Ballinascreen, St Anta go down to the Lions Den. It sounds like a rough game now, in fairness. It sounds like a tough one. There was a lot of ill discipline from the match report from Ryan Ferry, who's coming on the show to talk about it. Particularly from the ball on the screen side. And listen, St Anta were going in there as underdogs, so the 1-3-13 to 1-10 is absolutely phenomenal. And you've got to remember as well, Greg, this layoff that we had, the way the hurling championship, I don't think it was right, was played off before kind of our own club championship kicked in for the football, meant you had this massive layoff. It's basically a new season. So to come in there, you could say you could be caught cold. So for them to dominate the game, and of course, Jared Gilmore, we talk about time and time again, hitting 1-9. I mean, absolute class act. And listen, brilliant by Setanta and St Union's as well, absolutely destroying Omagh St Enda's, 4-24 to 9 points. So two brilliant performances by our hurling teams.
And it is a busy one. They're always busy, but this one in particular. Interesting chat with John McNulty, I'm sure. He's the new ladies' senior manager. A lot of it will be interesting to see his direction or where he believes they're at, where they can go, who's going to replace maybe, you know, some of the stars of the game that probably won't be available going forward. That's going to be an interesting chat, Brendan.
Yeah, very experienced, John McNulty coming in. He's coached quite a few teams here in Donegal and recently this year, Ayrua, who surprised everybody by their performances in the championship. And even that night I got to see them against St Union's, I was really impressed with how he had them set up and how they were on the ball and off the ball. Mm-hmm. And even the attacking element they had to his game. So listen, I think that's a very good fit. I think he's a very intelligent manager. And as you said, there's somewhat of a new team going to have to be built here. So it's a bit of a project for him. You know, Maxie Curran, of course, did fantastic work this last number of years. We're well beaten by Dublin in last year's championship. Of course, we beat the Dubs the year before, so there still is a group in and around there, but there certainly is a stage of a new team has to be developed. So it's good to give John this tenure and let him work
for
in
sure. It's a long term plan, because there is good work. Like there, if I'm not mistaken, you know, there are fantastic girls, you know, who are playing under 12s, under 13s, I can't remember exactly the age groups, but they get an opportunity to train with the senior women as well. So there is always an eye on who's coming through, and it's to make sure that talent is kept harnessed, not overdone, and brought through. I mean, you wouldn't really realise there's such a long-term plan in replacing players in a big team.
Yeah, and certainly, of course, the minors this year under 17s, they won the All-Ireland, but it was at the C level. And, you know, you heard Maxie talk about that in his time frame there, that the other top teams that Donegal were competing with, they were competing at the higher levels at underage. Now, there obviously is this argument of how much comes through, but for the ladies, they come through much younger. They play much earlier than the men. Mm-hmm. So the underage is probably more important even for them that we're competing at a high level, because if they're going to come in and step in, you know, as young as like 16, 17, 18, the possibility of them joining a senior squad is there. So this thing of the girls being ready, you know, to come in, be part of the backroom team, and then eventually come
in. Conveyor belt.
So yeah, that's it. It's very important. It happens much, as I say earlier.
And I think it's just in terms of how people develop and grow and stuff as well. So you can kind of see all that logic. So it's a packed show. Loads of guests. Brendan Kilcoyne discussing. Just on that Narasa thing, how can you defend five men being sent off? Seriously, I don't think you defended that. Because did you see the game, no?
No.
So in the absence of actually seeing it with your own eyes, you can only read the report and go, you know, what the hell was going on there? And, you know, it's clear. Another, ask Brendan what he thought of the officials at the Narasa game. Again, we're going off match reports. That's all going to be teased out with the man was there.
That's why Brendan's on. Yeah, I'm on baby watch at the minute. I couldn't make it. We're a wee bit overdue now.
You've never looked fresh. You've never looked fresher. This baby watching is good.
I'm getting my sleep in now.
That's what I'm saying. You've never looked better,
man. Thanks.
You look about 22.
Thank you. I'll take that.
Come back to me in about a month.
I did get. I got a bit of work done there.
Did you?
That's what they call it now. I think it's acceptable.
A bit of work. Yeah. Hey, listen. There's no shame in that game. Yeah. All right. Listen. Brilliant stuff. The show's on from 7 p.m. this evening. You can listen to it live at the DL Debate just after 7. It's a very popular show. Loads of people too love to listen to it as a podcast, and it's all in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. I just want to remind people, Brendan, that of course another string to your bow is the ball, the DV ball coming up, and it is you know, lots of tables already sold. There's still a few tables left. If people want to get involved in that and support the charities and have a great night out,
that's it. Yeah, we've had 30 tables sold. Great reaction there so far. 24th of November in the Mount Errigal. So yeah, come along if you can. If not, there's a GoFundMe for the charities, plan.ie, the Donegal Hospice and Epilepsy Ireland.
And if you, you know, if baby duty is just taking its toll, I'll sub in for you if you want.
Well, yeah. Would you stand in? That'll boost the table sales. I'll walk out the door, there'll be a few extra people.
That's the phone ringing with cancellations, Brendan.
No, Brendan. Get a proper presenter, dude.
No, you can't do that bluffing anymore. Between your own podcast, your punditry, You and Jimmy Stafford waffling.
Me and Jimmy.
On a Wednesday
yeah.
night. You know, you're a presenter now, Brendan, so you can't hide behind inexperience now, all right? All right, Brendan Devaney, as I say, if you want to book a table, just give us the details to people out there, because I think it's a great wee staff night out.
Just take us here at Highland. There's tickets at Sister Sarah's, the Dry Arts Complex, and of course, Mount Argyle Hotel. And if you want to phone up, if you want to book it, they'll take your name and details there. For the night at the Mount Argyle, you can ring the Mount Argyle and they will.
And it's going to be a great night of chat and conversation, a bit of comedy, a bit of music, talk of sport, of course. It's going to be a cracker. All right, Brendan, listen, thanks very much.
Thanks,
for that.
Greg.
Really
appreciate
do appreciate it. Brendan Devaney there. Right, I'm going to crack on actually because I took the break early, so I'll just carry on with some of your comments. As it relates to dumping, a caller says the same thing is happening in Carndonagh. People are dumping rubbish everywhere, and it's all household rubbish. No need for it at all, they say. Hi, Greg. Just watched the BBC News there. They say the Israelis have split Gaza into northern Gaza, southern Gaza. The phrase to hell or to Connacht comes to mind. I wonder what does rank and file Fianna Fáil supporters think of the Israeli ambassador attending the Fianna Fáil Ardèche at the weekend? What was the purpose of the invite? What would it achieve? Perhaps you may get a Fianna Fáil spokesperson on your show and explain, but the rank and files are listening to us as well. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. Greg, how are Ukrainians able to go to a safe country and then come to Ireland later? I was under the impression that most of them arrived in a country with very few possessions. They may, of course, have money in the bank. Most Ukrainians who arrived here would have been brought in as part of a group, I would think. But if you are in Germany or wherever you are and you decide to go it alone and head to Dublin, how do you get into the system here if you arrive on your own, or is it just a family? Well, you can just come in and enter the system. Say, for instance, not to conflate the issues, but if people who are leaving Gaza, you know, an absolute bombardment, no escape. The situation in Ukraine is somewhat different. Anywhere in the country could be hit, but only certain places there's an imminent, obvious danger, if that makes sense, i.e. tanks on the ground, soldiers with guns and what have you. Some people are going to be well-resourced. They can pack the car up, even stick a trailer on and, drive away. You don't have to be. You don't have to have no money to leave Ukraine for your safety. Is the point I'm trying to make? Whether you believe that to be right or wrong, that's why you see cars here and what have you. If it's the same in Ireland, some people would take their cars with them, I'm sure. Hi, Greg. Wonder if you've come across a text message I received today. ESB, you are eligible for a discounted electricity bill under the Energy Support Scheme, and then it gives you a URL to follow. It is, of course, a scam. IncomeTaxRevenueCredit.com. That is one of the biggest giveaways there. Firstly, it's a link in a text message or an email. Never ever click them, please. But secondly, it's a made up URL, just designed to look legit. But clearly, when you see IncomeTaxRevenueCredit.com, you know that's clearly is a scam there. It's terrible children getting killed in schools, but this happened in Afghanistan and Iraq years ago. Nobody talked about it. A genocide went on with the British Army and nobody talked about it. When you say nobody talked about it, this is the point why we're talking about different types of media. No one in the Western media talked about it, but they talked about it on different stations, RT, Al Jazeera, and other media outlets. No one talked about it on the BBC, on Sky, on RTE or whatever, you know, because there is a different agenda that's being pushed forward. But there always has been. And now with the one thing that's available now that wasn't as much in Iraq and Afghanistan is social media. People reporting on the ground, images that cannot be discredited, you know, so... It was the British who gave the Palestinian land to Israel after World War II. Israel has been annexing land since 1956. The army man on earlier was right in a sense. Britain started all of this. They raided Muslim land and gave it to Jewish and Christian people as they felt that they deserved it. They got rid of it and gave it to them after they didn't want it. Shame they couldn't do that with Ireland, but that's another story indeed. It is another story altogether. Rhys St. Joseph's. Actually, I'll stay with the situation in the Middle East. I'm listening to the radio here. I totally agree with Israel. After the war, the Jews said never again. Another, Ireland should keep out. We're neutral. We're a small island with the population of Birmingham. We're digging ourselves a hole here. We're the only country in Europe speaking out. We're putting ourselves in danger. Yes, we should condemn the violence on both sides. Other countries in Europe like France and Germany are on high terrorist alert. We are not. I think most people actually, even if they have issues with the government or the president, have welcomed some of the commentary, which you don't see too often. But I think there has been a broad welcome for Ireland's position on this. You know, sometimes you have to use your neutrality for what we have of it to use your voice on the world stage, you know, meaningfully, rather than a lot of the things we follow Europe on. If they say jump, we say how high. I don't think a lot of people are upset that maybe Ireland is taking its own stand in this regard. Rhys St. Joseph's, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Do these people think that they need, just because they have private health insurance, they're entitled? Can they not just go to Letterkenny? She's home from Letterkenny for a week. Can she not just stay with her dad? People cannot expect a 24/7 care. They need to take responsibility. Well, the health insurance side of it is not the issue here. Everybody needs a little bit of respite if they can get it. And there are cases, I don't think we want to lose our humanity here, there are cases where it's obvious, and if it was my dad, I would understand that if he were more comfortable, or comfortable at all, seeking respite in a local nursing home rather than one 30 kilometres up the road, I think that is people of legitimate right to sort of say, well, that's not right, especially when there are alternatives, or at least on the face of it, there seems to be alternatives. He got just about every bit of history wrong. He's totally inaccurate in regard to the politics. The only bit he got right is that Hamas are barbaric, but it could be pointed out that their experiences at the hand of the Israelis has hardened their hearts to great hatred. Hi, Greg. That light TV in bedrooms didn't allow them. Okay. And now all grown up, they're out on their own. They don't have telly in their own home. Okay, this is parenting in terms of the phones. Greg, it shows how much the people on your show are ignorant of the facts about the Israel-Palestinian two-state solutions and have never wanted Israel to exist. That is why there were wars in 48, 67, 73 and 82, many more borders. There were solutions put to the Palestinians on numerous occasions, but the Palestinian authorities rejected them as they would fail to recognise the state of Israel. And therein lies the incredible complexity of this situation. And again, the bottom line for me is this, though I see one argument one way, one argument the other, back and forth, and who does this, and history and whatever. And then I say, and it comes to my mind that since October 7th, there was the awful loss of life and butchering of children in Israel. And since then, there has been equal acts of, you know, of a barbaric nature. I don't think that's controversial. Is it to say bombing indiscriminately, killing 4,000 children in less than a month is anything other than barbaric, is it? But an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. There has to be some sort of a solution rather than arguing about who's right or wrong. There are people who aren't involved in this in an armed way dying left, right and centre. That's the thing that I can't get out of my head. And when people are discussing this, I'm like, yeah, well, what about all the people that are dead and dying and the more that will die? I mean, we can't lose sight of that, can we? Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And I'm only back in the door after a week off, 2 hours into it. And I'm already told that I might be under threat of losing my job to my next guest, Isaac Rulston. Isaac, how are you getting on?
Good
to have you with us. Thank you very much indeed. And you are here with your mum, Sinead. Sinead, thank you so much for calling in. How are you keeping?
I'm good, Craig.
All right, good stuff. Just rotate that microphone so that the black letter is facing you. Yeah, that's it. No, the other way. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Right. You're both very, very welcome. Mum, Sinead, why are you speaking to me today? Why did you want to do this?
Well, we're here to talk today about dwarfism awareness. Isaac was born with a condition called achondroplasia. And, October is Dwarfism Awareness Month. So himself and his cousin Farah decided to do a raffle to raise funds for the LPI charity, which is Little People of Ireland. And it kind of spiralled from there, really, that people kind of started talking about it and stuff. And he raised an amazing amount of money for the charity, which he presented at the weekend.
And Isaac, why did you and your cousin want to raise money?
Because so then now when we go, it will get us cheaper in and more families in, and And they gave out money on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night. Okay. And how did you raise the money, Isaac?
We did a raffle, me and my cousin Farah.
Right.
And we raised €2,630.
That's an awful lot of money. Just the two of you?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, and thanks to everyone who supported it, Isaac. I'm sure you want to thank them too, because that's really generous, isn't it? All right, that's probably the start of it now. You're probably going to do loads of that now. So, Sinead, talk to us about when you were told or it became clear that Isaac was born with achondroplasia.
Well, I had went for my 20-week scan and the limbs were measuring a few weeks behind.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, they just thought, might just be a small baby, so they had asked me to come back in a few weeks to just do more scans. So I had went back and the limbs were still measuring behind. So that's when we were referred to Hall Street in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there that they had mentioned to us that our baby more than likely was going to be born with dwarfism. So they had done bloods that were sent to London, to Great Ormond Street, and a week later it came back, it was confirmed that our child was going to be born with achondroplasia.
Mm-hmm. And in terms then of the continued pregnancy and early life, does that create any complications for you?
None for me, no. It was a natural birth. I was able to have him here in Letterkenny. So everything that way was normal.
Mm-hmm.
It was just after I was born then that he had feeding issues. So he was NG-fed for the first year and he had sleep apnea,
mm-hmm.
which comes part and parcel with the condition. And he has had numerous grommets put in.
Okay.
So he has hearing issues and he's been at speech and language for his speech and stuff like that. So I suppose when we first found out it was quite tough because we had never heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1 in 26,000 chance of it happening to any pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a spontaneous mutation of the FGFR3 gene. So,
isn't it amazing the things that all of a sudden you have to become an expert on?
Yeah, you do. You do your research into it a lot and you find out. So at the time it was quite daunting and quite scary
because
we didn't know what lay ahead. But
and how soon did you sort of start, I don't know, joining any groups or seeking support?
It was Hall Street at the time had mentioned Sinead Burke to mm-hmm. herself and the LPA charity, the conventions that they run for little people. So I had, it wasn't until after I had Isaac then that I did join the group on Facebook. And then it was from there then that we kind of realised there was we were just kind of thrown into a whole other world, really, of we'd never ever knew about before.
Yeah.
So it...
and it helps, doesn't it, to speak to others or groups have the same experience?
That's,
because
that's
obviously, obviously, you know, family will support, but they don't really get it.
Yeah,
like
that's it.
People who get it.
That's the whole point to the conventions for Isaac to meet other children his same age with the condition.
How important is that to Isaac? Isaac, how did talk to me about the Little People of Ireland convention. Is this the first time you'd been there?
No.
Okay.
I've been there until I was one.
You've been going since you were one,
since you're, so you've been there, my maths isn't very good, about seven times. And Camille, what did you do at the weekend? Was it nice meeting the other children?
Yes.
Yeah?
And we play a bunch of games, try and win stuff.
Did you win anything?
Yes.
Very good.
I won a Guinness World Record book, a family game, and one of my sisters won a Harry Potter jigsaw.
Yeah.
Wow. Raffle, A Harry Potter. I don't like jigsaws though. I don't have the patience. Anyway, don't you ruin the jigsaw now if she gets it all gnarly filled. That happened in my house once with a 500-piece jigsaw and I'm not sure the scars have healed yet. Sinead, how like, does there have to be a family history or
No, it's just a spontaneous mutation of the gene. It can happen in any pregnancy. We had never ever heard of achondroplasia at the start. We couldn't even pronounce it. So it was just, it's just one of those things that just happened.
And presumably now you're planning for the future and you want the best for Isaac in terms of, you know, schooling and opportunities. And also, I suppose, and I presume this is what awareness campaigns are about in months. Also, an understanding about how people treat other people.
Talk to
me a bit more about that.
Just really that words, like name calling and stuff, can affect people a lot.
Deeply.
But Isaac has a great support network and school is just amazing with him. And he's got a great bunch of friends. So he's really happy and you'd never see Isaac without a smile. So,
And I think we as parents as well have to make sure to talk to our children about these things, don't we?
Yeah.
About what's appropriate language, what isn't. You know, how people want to be treated or not treated any different.
His sister's is a great support to him. His older sister Ellie and stuff. So,
he's never fight, I presume, Isaac. You and Ellie never fight, ever. No, ever, ever, never, ever. Why are you laughing? I won't ask you to say anything because I've made that mistake before. Yeah, and you need that too, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And the convention is great support for us as parents to talk to other parents and stuff. And even for his sisters to meet other siblings that are in the same position as them that has a family member with dwarfism.
How common is it in Ireland?
It's probably more common than you would think, because since we've started going to the conventions, it has just been growing each year that we that we go. There's just more and more people there. So it's great to see so many people come.
But
to
I often wonder
stuff.
Too, when things are common, but you wouldn't realise they are. Where are people like, you know, you would hope that people are feel that they can and are facilitated to have full and active lives within the community. Do you know what I mean? When something is more common than it might appear, then my alarm bells start worrying, wondering, wondering, you know, when people go to adulthood, are they out and about as much as they want to be? And do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, and I suppose it's a lot to, now that Isaac is the age he is, and there's like children wondering why he's small and things like that, for parents just to explain that everyone is different and like Isaac's just small and that's basically just it. He's the same as any other average height 8 year old, and just really it's for parents really to open children's minds and not kind of say, no, you don't ask questions,
because
it's
us that plant the seeds in the children, or we don't.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? They're not born thinking.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really, really important.
Yeah.
Isaac, you would be familiar with Trinity Court, Newtown, Cunningham. I think you went there at playgroup. When you were at playgroup, you went to Trinity Court to help plant flowers for their older residents. And they want to say a big hello to you and thank you. So they're listening in. Is that all right? That's okay. That's for you. What do you like to do for fun, Isaac? You mean watch telly for 10 hours a day? Why is Mum not wanting you to say that? How about a joke? I wouldn't ask my son that on the radio because I'd be afraid what they would say. You like farming, so you like animals.
Yes.
What's your favourite animals? Sheep, cattle, pigs, horses, donkeys?
Lambs.
Oh, love lambs. Yeah, okay, they're so cute and there's loads of them around now. Okay, very good. Anything you want to add, Sinead? Or, is the fundraiser still open, by the way?
No, it's closed off now, isn't it? Yeah, they started the fundraiser on the 25th of October, which was World Dwarfism Day. Mm-hmm. And then they closed it on the Wednesday the 1st, and he presented the cheque at the weekend.
And how proud are you of the two of them?
Very, very proud of both of them, yeah.
And it's a huge amount of money. And how's that money going to be spent, Sinead?
That money basically goes to the Little People of Ireland, and it subsidises part of the payment that we make to go to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And it also runs workshops on the Saturday for us as parents to go to, and it tells us a lot about the condition and what resources is there and things like that. And
So it offers that invaluable support, doesn't
it? Yeah,
it
is. Really? It really is. Fantastic. Yeah.
Is there anything you want to sort of educate us on about, you know, without using the words, or what's the correct way to describe people or not to say nothing or whatever? Because people have a natural curiosity, don't they?
Yeah. Suppose, well, Isaac being the first way to present himself, but little people is another way of they like to be called. And their midget and dwarf is very derogatory. It's
I think that's common sense, isn't it? But sometimes you have to check yourself, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of people do still have their jokes and stuff there, which can hurt and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And we know the impact of words on young ears and how it can affect people for a very, very long time.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't think anyone knowingly or willingly wants to upset someone, do they? You know what I mean? It's just the word ignorance is very strong, but it really is just not knowing better.
Yes,
so that's why it's so important for you and Isaac Isaac to come in. Isaac, is there anyone that you want to say hello to?
Yes.
Go on then. Who?
My dad, my sisters, my aunties and uncles, my cousins, Heidi and Emma Doherty, and everybody who knows me.
What about Farah?
Cousin
your cousin Farah as well. You and your buddy, your fundraising buddy. Okay. Listen, congratulations, Isaac. Well done. You did an amazing thing with your cousin in raising that money. It's fantastic. And people were really generous, but that's because they think so much of you. So well done to the pair of you. It really is an amazing amount of money to raise. And I'm not surprised that Mum and Dad and the whole family are so proud of you. And you'll come back in, will you? Another time to visit us. But you'll don't try and take my job. Because I have a mortgage and I need to be able to pay it. So you carry on at school, and by the time you're ready, I'll be finished then, and you can just jump in here and take over, all right? Okay. All right, Isaac, it's been lovely meeting you. And again, a huge congratulations. Thank you very much, Sinead, for coming in yourself and bringing Isaac. It's been lovely meeting the pair of you. And is there anything else that needs to be said before we wrap up? I just want to make sure I didn't skip over anything. All right. Isaac, take care of yourself. Bye, Sinead. Back with more shortly. We want to say good morning again to Adam Locke, St. Columba's Comprehensive School, Glenties. Good morning and congratulations to you, Adam.
Good morning. Thanks for that.
How are you feeling?
Good, yeah.
Good stuff. And for those who aren't aware, Adam was a recipient of the individual award in the Garda National Youth Awards 2023. So this was a national competition, and loads of fantastic people selected from right across the country. And Adam came out on top. And we spoke to you, actually, about you establishing a rugby setup at his school. Tell us a little bit about that again.
Yeah, so it was about a year ago or so, set up at the rugby club in the school. Back then, whenever I was first on, it was just me coaching it. But now we're trying to get other people coaching as well. Like some of my friends and some of the people, some of my teammates, we're trying to get them sent away to Ulster to get trained up, so to release a bit of the workload. But yeah, it's going well. We've got three age groups for the boys and three for the girls as well. So the girls have a rugby blitz coming up in December, and the boys under 14s have one coming up in 2 weeks, so it's flying.
Yeah, and you were able to lean on your experience from the Donegal Town RFC, but got the RFU involved in this as well. I mean, this is something you put a lot of thought and consideration in to do it right.
Yeah, it takes a lot, and I get to see what my coaches in Donegal are doing, so I get to take some of that, use some of that here, and what I learned in Ulster, the coaching course, I can use some of that here as well. So I'm just picking and choosing from everyone I've learned off.
Now, I'm not sure if it was done by design or it just happened, and you can let us know, but even the person who nominated you, they were so struck by the fact that, you know, you had Ukrainians playing, you had Spanish exchange students that were over playing, that mixed in with the hinterland of Glenties, Ardrath, Fintan and Duhurry. Like, did you plan this to be as inclusive as it is, or did it sort of popularity draw people in?
Well, it wasn't really one of the main things, but whenever it all happened, whenever I seen everyone then, you know, from all areas going over, it was great, you know, like some of the Ukrainian, one or two of them wouldn't have the best English, but a lot of them you know, they give it their best shot. You know, they're very good as well, same as the Spanish.
The international language of sport, it overcomes an awful lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's great seeing everyone in it together, you know.
Yeah, of course. And where, I mean, is this just, I mean, obviously you have to go on and continue your education, Adam. I mean, you're going to leave a great legacy behind you, or you're going to try and mix your third level studies, if you choose to go down that path, with your work with rugby in the area?
Yeah, I'll definitely try keep rugby for third level, you know, in this area and stuff like that there. You know, it's a bit early yet, but I'll definitely be trying to do that.
And who's that sitting beside you?
Oh, that's Miss O'Pole. She was the one who nominated me for the award. Big thanks to her.
Yeah, very proud, aren't we all? Very proud. It's an amazing achievement.
Hi, Greg. Yeah, it is unbelievable. I remember when this all started back in September 2022, really, is when it took off. I had no idea that it would lead to having, like, we struggled to get a team of sevens for boys, a team of sevens for girls. And now we have junior girls, senior girls, under 14, under 16, under 18 boys. You know, we can even compete at 15s with some of the teams. As you said, we have people from Fintown, Letcher, Duhri, Ardragh, Glenties. There is competition there, but there's no competition when we get them all on the field together. To see then, I just seen the dedication and the maturity in Adam, the way he could command them all when he coached them. From my point of view, I loved rugby, but I doubted my own sort of coaching abilities. But as inspiration goes, I mean, I've gone on now to Ulster and I got my coaching course. Wow. Purely because I saw how good Adam was, and I wanted to, you know, also be a support there for him too. He's been very modest in that he has taken it, and as he has mentioned just there before, he's starting to get involved in distributive leadership now, because he's raising money along with his fellow teammates to basically send 3, 4, 5 others off to Ulster for coaching.
Wow. That's really impressive, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's non-stop, you know, that every time we think, right, there's nothing else this young man can do, he pulls something else out of the bag. So I was just so delighted to see him be so successful at the National Awards. It's just purely well-deserved.
Brilliant. And Adam, you're a great, I don't want to be patronising to you as well, but you're a great speaker and communicator. So obviously you're able to, that's to your benefit as well in encouraging and supporting others. Adam, I just wanted to bring you back on and congratulate you and the school as well, because you need to be backed up, don't you? And they've backed you up to the hilt. So well done to everyone, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, just thanks to everyone who supports me along the way. And, you know, it's really just the support I'm getting is kind of keeping us going and everything. You know, just thanks to everyone who supported me.
All right, continued success. Take care of yourself. Adam Locke there from St. Columba's Comprehensive School. The Garda National Youth Awards took place in Port Leash on Saturday, the 4th of November. Well done. And I want to say a very special mention as well to Mulroy College in Donegal, which got a special recognition award, and truly well deserved. And I like these awards because they genuinely do recognise the people that deserve it. Okay, so we appreciate Adam coming on, and as I say, a very special mention to everyone at Mulroy College as well, who we have spoken to in the past, of course. Right, it is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We're heading towards the end of the programme, but we still have more guests to introduce to you, one at least, so stay where you are. A caller says, mobiles aren't the problem. White light from phones and blue light from TV stimulate the brain. It disrupts sleep. Red light relaxes the brain. I've dyslexia. Years ago, red light was used to help my learning difficulties. Studies have been done in Scandinavia linking depravity of light to depression. Use blue light for downstairs to keep you awake and red upstairs for relaxation. Indeed, okay. Thank you for that. Right, Ali Farron is the Public Relations Officer of the 100% Redress Party. I beg your pardon, he's with us now. Good morning, Ali.
How are you, Greg? Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Ali. Thanks very much for that. Now, I suppose an important part of this whole process that has been undertaken here. There are 4 information evenings taking place across the county, starting this evening. And what are these meetings about, Ali, as far as you see it?
Well, as we talked before, we're a new party and we're setting up. And the first part of our job was to get organized and get all the documentation all right and get our bank accounts. Now all that's done. In fact, our website went live yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so now we're at the next stage. Now we're about building a party. So we can't do it on our own. Like you need people in every parish, every townland, you know, to come out or to be, you know, to represent the townland so that we can fight the next county council elections, and basically get our name out there, get our candidates when they're selected out there. So lots to do, and we need help.
Yeah, and not much time to do it in. I mean, on paper, it seems like quite a long time, but the local elections are literally almost just around the corner.
They're 6 months away, and we've been at this already. About 9 months before, just to get this far. But listen, we expect and hope that if we can gather a bit of momentum and get our candidates in order for just after Christmas, all the other politicians or political groups are getting their people nominated at the moment. We're going to be a wee bit behind that, but we could be an outsider when it comes to the next elections.
The meeting tonight in Letterkenny in the Station House Hotel from 7:30 to 9:30. Ballybuffet in the Villa Rose from 7:30 to 9:30. Wednesday, Carndonagh, 7:30 to 9:30. Thursday, Buncrana, 7:30 to 9:30. You're probably not going to say, but it looks to me like you're optimistic, maybe, or even, you know, maybe it's best case scenario. You know, two elected out of Inishowen, one each from Letterkenny, Milford, one Stranorlar.
Is that what you think, Greg? Well, we'll have to wait and
see.
Looks
like it to me, Ali.
It'll depend on who comes on board.
Yeah.
There's other areas within the county as well, but we're going to see how these four information goes. As I say, it's all about getting feet on the street.
Are you looking
really
for prospective candidates to attend these meetings?
Of course we are. Yeah. But remember this, if you appear at a meeting, you might know somebody else. I don't know anybody who will jump up and down and say, I want to be a candidate. I think a lot of people will have to be encouraged, cajoled, and, you know, encouraged to speak up. It's not an easy option. And being a councillor, everybody who knows councillors, they're very, very busy people. It probably takes over their life. But the issue that we're dealing with is taking over people's lives as well. And we're not getting the right support but from a lot of people that should be delivering for us. So we need to get our voices at the tables, be it firstly and foremostly in the county council.
Yeah, okay.
Hopefully people come out.
It'll be interesting. Just to remind people, the first meeting tonight in Letterkenny from 7:30 for 2 hours in the Station House Hotel. Ballybuffet tomorrow from 7:30 in the Villa Rose Hotel. Wednesday, Carndonagh in the Colgan Hall at 7:30. And then Thursday, Buncrana Youth and Community Development. So if you have any interest in this or any interest indeed in perhaps putting yourself forward, or if you think someone else might be suitable for it, it's all options are on the table by the sounds of things, Ali. And we appreciate your time this morning.
Greg, thank you, and thanks to all in Highland.
Hopefully
we'll see somebody tonight.
Yep, okay, I'm sure you will. Thanks, Ali. Ali Farron there, PRO of the 100% Redress Party, which, you know, even if you're not affected by that or have a particular view on it, it is going to be an interesting dynamic having potentially multiple candidates vying for multiple seats. And through the course of our debates here in this show, you know, debating with people who probably are committed to helping them as well, it's going to be just an interesting dynamic. Now, there is a very special show on tonight. It is Monday Night Sessions. It's on the road, though, and it's part of the Waking Ted event. We're broadcasting it on the radio tonight. Where is it actually? Sorry, I don't want to give out the wrong information there. But anyway, if you can go along or if you can support it, thefriends.ie, there is a donate button there. And also, it's going to be a fantastic lineup tonight. I'll give you more details. Caroline, could you just grab those details? I don't want to give out the wrong information about where it is, what time it starts at, that type of thing. Just to be on the safe side, that I don't want to do anything that disadvantages what's going to be a really, really enjoyable night. A couple of birthday requests, if that's okay. It's in the Clannery. Okay, it's in the Clannery tonight. So presumably you can pay at the door. It's donations, isn't it? It's free
but donations at the door. Okay, so get along to that. It's going to do a fantastic lineup of acts there. Ryan McMonagall in Raria, is it? In New Mills, Letterkenny. Happy third birthday from godmother Fiona. And another one for you, Ryan, from Granny and Grandad Gallagher in Ballybuffet. And I want to play a very special happy birthday to Susan Eveson, who's in Milford. Susan, that's coming in from Mary. We've been really busy, haven't we, with our visitors across Donegal, just some of them that have been seen. Of course, we had Johnny Walker, the big UFC star. He's going to be massive, you know. He was in the Downings area over the summer. Then we had people from the Rovers return. They were in the Railway Tavern. Mickey North, a.k.a. Gary Windass. And Tanisha Gorey. She's also, of course, Asha Allahan from Coronation Street. They popped in for Sunday lunch and poured a few pints. Bundy Aki, the Irish rugby star, was pictured with some of the staff there at Kelly's service station in Carnton. And we've got some pictures of this stuff up, by the way, on our websites or our socials. And Donald Skelly spotted Tony Odenshaw, also known as Bob Hope in Emmerdale. He was spotted with his friend enjoying the Maville Green and Shaw Walk yesterday. So it's like mini Hollywood here. Donnywood, what could you call it? Have you spotted anyone famous? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Give us the goss. All right, that's where we have to leave it on the show today. Really, really busy show. So much appreciated, which means that we will carry comments over to the morning. So rejoin us tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. It's great to be back with you, back again tomorrow. But for me, Greg Hughes, and researcher and producer, Caroline Orr, and Shannon, also, who has joined the team today, have a wonderful day. Stay tuned. John Breslin's coming up around the Northwest.